back when I was in the Army, we had a what was called land navigation. You had three people that were involved in land navigation. You had the one who had the compass, you had a spotter, and then you had one that read the map. And you had to get from point A to point B. And sometimes there were a lot of obstacles to go around, and that's why you needed the three people. Daytime was a lot easier than nighttime. Nighttime, they had us going through thick brush and very difficult going over rocks and all kinds of obstacles in our way. But the goal was the same. You had your point that you had to go to, and you went to that point. And as I started thinking about the Christian life and thinking about how we are ourselves navigating through, some thoughts came to my mind. First of all, Christian navigation is pretty much like land navigation in the military. The Bible, if you will, is our map. This is where we get directions for our lives. The Holy Spirit is our compass. He provides direction for our lives as we read the Scripture. And of course, as we would all agree, and I think we would all agree this morning, Jesus Christ is our spotter. He is the one out there, and our goal is to go to Jesus. It is to become more like Christ. It is to follow the path of Jesus. Jesus told his disciples, come, follow me. That's our call today. Come, follow me. But sometimes we get so confused about how we're to go and how we're to walk. And let me just say this. We overcomplicate things. We overcomplicate things. I know people that think that the Christian life is like this one big maze and there's all kinds of turns. And if you make a mistake, you're in deep trouble. No, that is not the Christian life. Because the Christian life is lived by faith in Christ. It is lived under the direction of the Holy Spirit, who in Ephesians 1, 13 and 14 seals us until the day of redemption. He comes in and provides direction for our lives. So let's not overcomplicate this issue. Let's not make it more difficult than it needs to be. And from these two little verses, I'm going to show you how simply you can live the Christian life and know that God will direct you. And this very simple text. Now, first of all, you have to put confidence in Yahweh. Put confidence in Yahweh. He gives us a command here. The command is this: trust in the Lord with all your heart. This word trust is an imperative in the Hebrew. It's a qual verb. And what that literally means is bata, or to place confidence and trust in something. And in this case, it means to completely trust in God. Think of it this way. The Christian life is simply, at its core, trusting God. It doesn't mean that we have to know exactly what direction or which way to go. See, the issue here, the issue simply is trust. And we fret and we worry about things. What if this happens? And what if this happens? And God is calling us in this text today to simply place full trust in Him. And that means we've got to let go of some of the things that we want, we desire, and we just simply trust Him. Bata. We trust in Him. Psalm 37:5 says this: commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will act. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Say, Lord, here is my life. You give me direction. You give me guidance. I am going to trust you as I live my Christian life. I am just going to be obedient to you. I'm going to follow you. And the Scriptures tells us over and over and over again that God will act. He loves those that are committed to Him and have enough faith in Him to completely trust Him. Yet so many times we try to overcomplicate this issue. The issue is this. It simply is trust. Bata. Be still and know that He is God. Trust. Now, the scope of this trust, He says, trust in the Lord, trust in Yahweh, with all your heart. Lave, the inner being or the source of the person. We could do it this way. Lave, the heart in Greek is cardia, which is a reference to the heart. But in Hebrew, the lave is the inner seat of the person, who you are as an individual. And it really encompasses feelings and thoughts. So when Solomon writes here, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, the issue is our thoughts and our feelings. Because if you look at it this way for a minute, if you are trusting in your own feelings, in your own thoughts, those may not quite be right. He says here, we're to give out of ourselves, we're to give God our feelings and our thoughts, and He will take care of it. Think of all the times that you've done things or went a certain direction, and it was based on thoughts and feelings. Solomon, one of the wisest men in the Old Testament, says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lave, inner being, source of who we are. That's the thoughts, the emotions. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, our emotions are flat out wrong. But trust alleviates these thoughts and feelings. Why? Because we are giving our thoughts and our feelings to God, to Yahweh. Now, I don't know about you, but if all of us could just get to a point in our lives when we just give that over. Do you know how much time you could give the thoughts to something else? And your feelings and your emotions? It's difficult. I realize that. It's difficult because we look at something and we go, I don't think we can do that. I don't think that can happen. But you've got to give that to God. The basis of all of this is confidence in Yahweh. Confidence in God. I think Dwayne Garrett's right in his commentary. The commitment of the heart to God means that all the beliefs and decisions of life are to be submitted to Yahweh. Anything that you can think or the feelings that you have should all be submitted to Him. And the issue, the central issue here is trust in God. Now, a proverb is a way of comparing two things. That's one of the issues with a proverb. And he does it here with the warning in 5b. Now notice the warning. And do not lean, Shehi Nun, do not lean on your own understanding. If I could put it down in simple layman's term, it literally means do not depend on yourself. One of the worldly philosophers, Dr. Wayne Dyer, who recently died, this is what he writes. Trusting yourself is trusting in the wisdom that you created. Now, there are so many things wrong with that statement, I'm not going to sit here and try to unpack it. But I am going to say a couple things. You should never trust in yourself. That is worldly philosophy, that is worldly wisdom. And you didn't create any wisdom. And actually, the wisdom that you have is a worldly wisdom. For those that are living like this, it is a worldly wisdom based on the wisdom of man, which is the foolishness of God. Man thinks he's so brilliant, thinks he's so wonderful. But do you know, against God's mind and God's wisdom, it's minute. Because God's wisdom is so vast, so wonderful. And so the Solomon here is telling us, trust in God with all of your heart and do not lean to your own understanding. And this is another reason why we don't lean to our own understanding. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. Isaiah 55 verse 8. Look, the world has a babyfied wisdom, if you will. God's wisdom is mature, righteous, holy, just, and God, who created this world, also created those who believe they are Einstein. So think of it that way. God's wisdom is much higher, much greater. And so sometimes we get into trouble as believers when we don't trust and give our thoughts and our feelings to Him, and we kind of start leaning to our own thoughts and feelings. How I feel about this situation as I encounter it. Do not lean to your own understanding. I like this understanding, bana. I love the Hebrew language, bana. That sounds awesome. But what it really means is insight and discernment. Warren Wiersbe. This warning doesn't suggest that God's children turn off their brains and ignore their intelligence and common sense. It simply cautions us not to depend on our own wisdom and experience or the wisdom and experience of others. Listen, everybody in this sanctuary this morning would agree. Do you or do you not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Then He and He alone is the commander of your soul. And when you trust in Him, you trust Him with everything. We do not necessarily, there are some things I think common sense does come into play with, but ultimately, you are in a personal relationship with Him. Jesus is not transcendent, far removed. He's imminent inside your heart by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, you have dialogue with Him. You are in a personal relationship with Him. Therefore, do you know what a storehouse of wisdom that you have available to you from God through Jesus Christ in the presence of the Holy Spirit? You have tons of stuff that God can help you with. You do not need to lean to your own understanding. So when you're walking and living for Him and you start looking at a situation, do not rely on how you see it, because those are not quite correct all the time. Look at how God views the situation, how He wants you to see the situation. And of course, we're told in 1 Thessalonians, test everything, hold to that which is good. It doesn't mean that we throw our brains out the door, but it does mean that as we live the Christian life, we learn to trust Him more and more with our lives. And when we're confronted with a situation or a circumstance, brothers and sisters, we have the map. We can go to the map and the instruction guide for our lives and go, wait a minute, this doesn't match with Scripture, therefore I know not to go there. And I'm going to tell you, the wisdom literatures, Ecclesiastes, Proverbs, Song of Solomon, there, and Job, there is so much wisdom just in these books that you could go and you could spend an entire year just reading these five books, and you would gain so much wisdom and so much knowledge that I believe, even though we're New Testament Christians, is what I've heard before. We're Old Testament Christians, by the way. But we live in under the day of dispensational grace. I get that. But brothers and sisters, there is a lot of wisdom in Psalms and the Proverbs. There is a lot of wisdom. You can go there and the writer Solomon just hits the heart, helps us live for God. So we don't need to always see things from a human perspective. We don't need to look at it like that. So if we are giving our whole heart to Him, our thoughts, our feelings, and we are not leaning to our own understanding. Now that's a mind revelation, right? That's a huge revelation. That's very simple. Look at what Solomon promises that God will do. And He will guide you. Now I'm boiling this down to a simple little proposition. That if you trust in God with your whole heart, our thoughts, our feelings, who we are as a person, okay, we have a promise. Now, that's a lot more simple than somebody who says, now, this is a maze, and you got to go here, and then it turns over here, and then it goes here. I'm going to tell you that that's actually a life of disobedience, because the scripture says it here. Because the issue is, follow the way. That's actually in the text. Follow the way. Now, watch what he says. In all your ways, acknowledge him. So, you put confidence in God, you put confidence in Christ, you put confidence in the Holy Spirit, and he will guide you. That's a very simple process. And here's our action on it. 6a, in all your ways, acknowledge him. Ways, darak, in the Hebrew. What's that word mean? It's a path. It's a path. It's a road. The way, if you will. The way. So in all of my ways, whether I go to the road on the right or I go to the road on the left, if I am trusting in him and I am following him, in all of my ways, not a maze. Because I believe this too, and I just think it's biblical. I think it's anchored here, and I think it's a general principle that we can live by. If you are obeying God, you will be in the midst of his will. Even if you think I made a mistake, do you know what I think? I think, and Newt Larson always told me to make very clear what the Bible says and what I think, and then make sure what you think is based on the scripture. I think and believe in what the Bible teaches, that whenever you go a certain way, if you are living for him, even if you get into trouble, God knew that. And he will still direct your paths. Because I'm going to tell you, sometimes you can follow God and get into trouble. Right outside these church doors, there's a lot of people that would help you get into trouble because they do not like us. Now, it means that in your daily life, your moral decisions, your spiritual decisions, your ethical decisions, as you live your life, simply acknowledge him. Yada. Yada. And this means become familiar with God. Oh, wait a minute. Now you're talking, what does that sound like? Oh, that sounds like spiritual growth. Because as you're living your life for him, the goal is to get to know God. Oh, God, hear it. Let me hear your voice. Speak to me. Teach me, David writes in the Psalms. Create in me a pure heart. I hide my word, your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. It is getting to know the one who redeemed you. And that's what it means by, in all of your ways, acknowledge him. It means to get to know God. Listen, by common logic, listen to this. If you know God better each day, then you'll understand how God directs you each day. But if you're a baby Christian and you remain in your baby, in a baby state, you're not going to know God to the full extent. And so you do get into trouble. But even by the grace of God, he supports you even in that baby state. But the goal is to grow so that you become mature. And when things come against you, you know whom you have believed. And am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him until that day. Praise be to God. Yada. Well, the question is, how do we know him? First of all, James 1:5 says this. If any man lacks wisdom, he should go to God and ask, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Another promise from God. If you are in a situation, you're not sure which way to go, brothers and sisters, all you got to do is this. God, I need wisdom for this situation. I don't know how to respond to it. I don't know if this is your will. Please show me. And again, It will be given to you. He's not going to withhold that from you. He will give you the wisdom that you need in that situation. But so many times what happens is, Phil, what do you think we should do? John, what do you think we should do? Sally, what do you think I should do? Where do you think I should go? Don't go to them first. Go to God. He's your Redeemer. God will direct you. Go to Him. Ask Him. I think prayer is so important, so important. And yet it's one of the least things that we use in our lives. And we're all guilty of it, myself included. We're all guilty of it. A second way that you get to know God better is by renewing your mind. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that phrase there, renewing of your mind, means resetting your mind. Kind of like when your computer gets bogged down and you've got to reboot the computer. You need to reboot your mind. And resetting your mind so that you may discern what is good and pleasing and acceptable. Look, you can't live this Christian life effectively if your Christian walk with God is not what it should be. There needs to be acknowledging and trusting and following and obeying. And then there's this. A third way of knowing God is, your word is a lamp unto my feet. I've already mentioned it. A light unto my path. Psalm 119:105. Years ago when I was in seminary, one of the professors gave us that text, by the way. And he said, I want you to visualize this text. And it was part of a meditation class. Don't worry about it. It wasn't Eastern mysticism and that kind of stuff. He just wanted us to meditate on the word. And so I shut my eyes, and what was brought to my eyes was I was in a dark, like a cobblestone street. It was dark all around me. But when I opened the Bible, the street in front of me was illuminated, and I was able to see. You know, I've never lost that. And I meditate on scriptures. That's how I come up with some of these images. These aren't images. I mean, when I'm studying a scripture, God goes, that's an image. Use it. That is an image. Use it. And so every time the Bible was closed, the place went dark. I knew there was a street there. It was a cobblestone street in my meditation. But every time I opened it, the path was lit. You cannot follow God effectively if you are not in the Word. You cannot follow God effectively if you are not in the Word, reading it, studying it, obeying it, living it, loving Him. So it becomes problematic for a believer when we say acknowledge God in all of our ways. If we're not knowing Him, it becomes problematic. But there is a promise. He will guide you. If we're trusting in God with all of our heart, we've got confidence in Him, we're not leaning to our own understanding, and we are acknowledging Him as we live our Christian life, here's the promise. You remember the other promise we talk about? If anybody goes to God and lacks wisdom, goes to Him, He'll give you. Well, here's the promise. You ready for this? This is big. And He will make straight your path. Make straight. Yashal. Yashal. Listen to what this means. Listen and listen good to this. This is central to the life of this sermon. Yashal. No wandering or turning aside. The Israelites had a history of a problem of acknowledging. Back when Israel was told to get out of the land of Goshen. By the way, for those of you that are in the back that can't see it, right here is the land of Goshen. From here to the capital of Jerusalem It is a whopping 240 miles. If you walked 6 miles a day, and that is very slow, if you walked 6 miles a day, it would take you exactly 40 days to walk 240 miles. You know what the problem was? They weren't acknowledging God. I wrote this down. They didn't trust God. Look at what happened when the Israelites got to Mount Sinai. Moses goes up on the mountain, and 40 days, not even a week had gone by, and they were down there with Aaron building a calf. That doesn't sound like people that trust God. Moses had to come back down. When he did come down, he saw what was going on, and he threw the tablets. That's why we have Deuteronomy. Second law. He had to make another law because Moses got irritated with the people and broke the tablets. Second, they relied on their own wisdom. Let us go here. And they didn't fully believe God. So, a jaunt that should have taken at the max 40 days winds up taking the nation of Israel 40 years. Now, that's the maze. You catch that? That is the maze. The maze is for people who do not know God. They do not have an understanding of God. They do not know the ways of God. Therefore, they wander through the Christian life because they do not read their Bible. They do not trust God. They do not submit to God. And therefore, they wind up wandering in the wilderness for a lifetime. And then they blame the very God who saved them and redeemed them for their own rebellion, their own unbelief, and their own lack of trust in God. Maybe this isn't mind-boggling, but it is to me. Put confidence in God and He will guide you. Trust Him. That means whenever you're confronted with a situation that comes into your life, just say, God, I trust that you've got this. By the way, I think benchmarks are huge. So that we don't, whenever God's done something in the past, you need to write it down. Write it down. So when you get to it, you can go, oh yeah, God acted there, God acted there. I can trust Him. I'll trust Him with this. So that we don't have the wilderness experience. And most of the time, I mean, really, I'm like, if I was Moses and we're going through all this, I go, come on, God. I mean, at least I'm following you. I love you. Can't we just get out of here? But then, of course, Moses made some mistakes too. But if you look it up on the map, it's 240 miles, and if you go 6 miles a day, it should take 40 days. But yet, God said, that generation did not trust me. That generation did not follow me. And I'm not going to let you see the promised land that I've given you. Now, God was very gracious to Moses. Moses went up and was able to look into the promised land, but then you know what the scripture says? He died. And God raised up Joshua, Yeshua, Jesus, if you will. And He took them into the promised land. Oh, there is one other thing about this word here. Yeshal. No wondering, turning away. There is one more thing here that I wanted to drop in right here because I think it's important. This is awesome. I love Hebrew. Not only will God guide you, but the word also encompasses the thought that God will remove obstacles out of your way. You think, wow, this is an obstacle. No, wait a minute. God's got this. Boom. He's got this. Boom. Off. But, again, The choice is yours. You can either live for him, trust him. And, you know, I know this sounds oversimplified. Well, it is. It is. You trust God and he'll guide you. I don't know how much. You don't need to be a theologian or go to 17 years of Bible college. It really is very simple. You trust God with your life. And I am foolish enough to believe that he will guide you. And you think, well, I made a mistake. No, 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 no. See, there are no mistakes in the kingdom of God. God uses those what you think are mistakes. See, that's relying on your own wisdom and understanding. God uses these valleys and these pits and these hard times. He uses them to sculpt us and to make us into the image of Jesus, his son. So let's try to avoid the wilderness. And God will just give you a straight path right to the kingdom. So this maze idea, no. Mm-mm. That's not right. I'll just tell you that as your pastor. That is not the Christian life. God will direct your path straight forward. You shall. Love that word because it talks about no wandering, no turning, and God will remove the obstacles from your path. That is your word for the week. Yashal. Make straight. Now you may not think it's straight, but God does. Let me ask you a question. Are you placing total confidence in God this morning? I'm not asking if you've given him 50%, 70%, 80%. Because there's a little word there called all. And that means everything. Are you trusting in God with all your heart? Are you learning God? I don't think you can know God unless you learn God. And that means you get to know God's ways and how he does things. And guess what? The way is simple. It's a lifelong process of knowing him. And so the lifelong process does not end at the cross. The lifelong process begins at the cross. You know the famous song, at the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my sins rolled away? Well, that's the beginning spot. If you are trusting God and you are learning God, brothers and sisters, I will tell you with all authority as God's messenger this morning, he will guide your steps. You will follow his way for your life. Proverbs 3:5-6.